What's up, man?
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, thank you for coming, man. What up, what up, what up? What's up, 806? This is your boy, Big King. We're now live on Soul Radio, 2420 East Cornell, Street at Rockstar Church. We got some people coming in right now. We're going to go ahead and get it cracking. We're going to go ahead and get it started here about 15 minutes soon as our camera guys show up.
It's coming again. It's that Boogie Wonderland.
You know what I'm saying? And we got a black president right now. It's a great time. great time to be here. You know what I'm saying? Hey, do what you love and love what you do. Life is about making your dreams come true. You feel me? Yeah, I'm posting on my Facebook the link to where people can say it's like your mama and stuff, want to listen to something. Thank you, brother. Yeah. I think my son is out here performing. I think he's performing everybody. Where you going? You got to say it. Uh-huh. I can't hear you. Don't you just pulled up? We got the food truck out there, too? Oh, yeah. Go ahead and take a picture of it. Oh, never mind. Step outside, a food truck just got here. A food truck just got here. Yeah. So Charity. Miss Charity, shout out to them now. Owens Lunch and Go, they just pulled up to the Room of Champion Conference. I'm trying to post on my Facebook, but it's saying I don't have any connection available. I don't know why that is doing that. Just bear with me a little bit if you're listening online, please do. Yeah, it's hotter than I want to say. It's hotter than a hoe in church. That's what they say. Yeah, man, I'm trying to get my internet status to pop on up, but it won't. But it won't work. I'm not really sure what's going on.
All right. I have to walk back out from the field.
All right. I see you, boy. Hey. I'm about to go ahead and unmute Mr. Kalo, where he's going to be live. Kalo, where'd he go?
What? Did you unmute me?
Yeah, you're on me. Yeah, man, you're live. Can you hear me? Yeah, you just did something so I can't hear you.
What's up?
I just heard you all ago.
Yeah, you hear me now?
All
right.
Yeah, I got you.
What's up? We live right now, Soar Radio.
Okay.
We're going to get ready to kick this thing off.
Yeah, that's Timothy Williams right there. He's going to be hosting the room.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. My dad, Josh. You're a down-to-earth character, and you can shine.
Yeah, that's just mad. That's mad. Y'all don't pay that no attention.
Yeah. Hey, that's true. You doing all right, Miss Princess? You sure? You want some water? No. Hey,
I don't want no trouble, bro.
What's the program
at? We is live on Soar Radio.
Got the program?
Huh?
The program?
It's up there. I probably need to move it. Oh, I got it, though.
How
you doing? And then me?
Oh, yeah.
kind of dripping now.
All right.
Pete.
Yes, sir.
Sabrina,
yes, sir,
she supposed to be playing that song, right?
All right. Yeah, we're gonna do the. We're about to do the prayer first.
Okay. Just let me know when y'all get the song going, so
okay,
we can get
I
started. All right.
All right, Pastor. Yes, sir.
Let's groove tonight.
Oh, y'all didn't have to sing, huh? Nah, I can't sing.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is our day. We're going to come to the program. I'm starting off with a word of prayer. Because of our Father, we thank you for this another day. We thank you, God, for our life, our health, and strength. We pray that, man, that this man comes to be for us. He would have to help us and teach us how to be a man. He will call us to be. We thank you, God, for calling us out of darkness and praying us to see a walk in life. We pray that you bless each individual that's on program today. Now, God, we pray that you will be merciful to us.
It's the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. All right.
By me, Kimothy Williams, right now. Y'all give a round of applause for PDP for putting this thing together right now. Yes, sir, it's going down. First of all, I would like to say thank y'all for coming. I know it's hot out here, and you know black folks really don't move in the heat. You know what I'm saying? You really can't get nobody black to do nothing in the heat unless it's for free, so thank y'all for coming out today. I just want to say we should all sit there and take time to realize the pastor, you know, in his prayer. You know, we should have prayed for some air conditioning because it is pretty hot up in here today. And I'm up here in this robe. See, the pastor don't give you these robes. He give you robes like this when you ain't part of his church. So I had to wear the same robe I graduated in to come up here and speak tonight. So we got some things. We got some performances coming out. We got Booker Bradshaw, we got Mita, we got a whole bunch of people in here and things going on today. So I just want to take the time just to say thank y'all for coming one more time. And if you plan on going on vacation this year, don't take your kids to no zoo. Don't take your kids to Florida because them gators and them gorillas, they tripping this year. I'm going to let y'all know that right now. So because, you know, I just can't believe that a little black boy – out of all the people in the world, a little black boy climbed into a gorilla pit. You know, but that's because of the parenting this year. Because if that would have been one of them old school mamas, that little boy would have stayed in that gorilla pit. You know what I'm saying? Because that little black mama, you know, black mamas let you know before you even get out the car, look, don't go over there messing with them gorillas now. If you go up there and you get stuck down there, you just going to be stuck. And then whoever sit there, look, the alligators is innocent. You can sit there. They treat alligators like they black people now. They run up on innocent alligators right now. Have you seen a kid? The alligator, I ain't seen no kid. What you want with me? You know what I'm saying? They just messing with all the alligators. So just be careful when you sitting there going on vacation. If you want to be cheap, just take them to a hotel, let them go swimming. You ain't even got to worry about them sitting over there getting ate by no gorilla or nothing like that. But I'm glad y'all came out for the Juneteenth weekend. With the presidents that we do have coming up, this might be our last Juneteenth. So y'all just better go ahead and enjoy it. With Trump and Hillary Clinton, I don't know if we're going to have another Juneteenth. So y'all better just go ahead and enjoy this weekend. And go ahead and pray for Orlando. You know, I know y'all had, you know, heard they had the little shooting down there and whatever, but, hey, stuff happens, you know what I'm saying? I ain't going to say nothing because I'm in church. And right now I'm really being cool because I ain't trying to get sent to hell up in there by saying something crazy. And the pastor done already warned me. He said, Timothy, don't say nothing crazy up in this church. You go, yeah, I know how Pastor Hawatha is. If you go to his church, he be real smooth. Timothy, don't say nothing out of line up in his church, cause we ain't gonna have it today. But the first person I'm calling to the stage tonight is Mr. Trey Culver, going to the Olympics. So we need you to come on up right now if you're in the building. Trey Culver, everybody, give it up for him. Wait,
I'm still stuck. Hi, well, I'm Trey Culver. I'm speaking about my success in track. I'm a track athlete at Texas Tech. But I'm going to start out just saying, like, I'm from Lubbock. I mean, most people are. If you're here, you're probably from Lubbock. But I went to West Elementary, then I went to Irons, then I went to Coronado. But starting out, all my life I love sports. My dad loves sports. His dad loves sports. So we love all types of sports, but ever since I was little, basketball is my favorite. And so just growing up, I loved basketball. We always played mob basketball, all types of, anytime we could, we played basketball. But we played soccer, baseball, we played all the sports. But basketball was for sure my favorite, and I knew that coming into high school. And so I made varsity my sophomore year, and that's when I really knew that I just got the concept that I really have to work if I want to be good at it. And so all that summer, I really worked, and I got a starting spot. Sophomore year, I switched out between the starting position, and junior, senior year, I had my starting spot. But then there was this coach, Coach Simpson. He used to coach in middle school with my dad, and he told my dad to make me go out there and do track. And track is after basketball, so I'm just kind of like, all right, I ain't got nothing to do, so I'm gonna do track to get out of school, to go get free pizza and miss school. We go on the road trip. Just hang with your boys. Hang with the football players because we don't see them much. And so I kind of got into track my sophomore year. And then my junior year, I started I triple jumped and ran a little bit sophomore year. But then junior year, I started high jumping. And there was a JV coach that got me to high jump because he's a JV basketball coach, but he was also the high jump coach. And he really he saw me. I was dunking a lot in the games in basketball. He said, hey, come high jump for us. And so I went out there. I won my first meet. And from there on, it was a crazy journey. I'm be honest, in high school, I high jumped all the way. I went to state my senior year. I got third best in the whole state of Texas in high jump. But I was still focused on basketball. And it's kind of ironic and funny that you're winning. You're third in the state in track and high jump, but you're not ranked in basketball, you know. It's these people, if you go to a top D1, Big 12, Texas, Duke, North Carolina, if you go there to play basketball, you're ranked in the state. But basketball was still my love, and I gave it all I had. But I just started liking track more and more. I remember my senior year, before I even went to state, that was my goal. I said, I want to take this more serious and go to state. And that's what happened. And right before the state meet, when I qualified, the Texas Tech coach, my coach had called him for me, but he was there, and we had jumped at Texas Tech. And I got a second or third at that meet, but I still got to go to state. But that's the first time we met Coach Thomas, who is my coach right now at Tech. And he was talking to my parents, and I lost to this guy who was the best in state. He won state. He said he started out, he said he was already talking to my parents, but I walked over. I'm mad I lost to him because I'm just a competitor. And then he said, well, Trey, I'm Coach Thomas, Texas Tech. I was like, wow, nice to meet you, Coach. I didn't know what he really wanted with me, but I said, nice to meet you. He said, you can beat that guy, and you will beat that guy if you come to Texas Tech University. And then he started throwing his recruiting, his sales pitch at me and everything. And so I'm like, all right. And so long story short, out of high school, going to college was one of my – that's definitely one of the biggest decisions I ever made in my life. And I prayed a lot. I asked God. I said, God, I need guidance. So I could ask my parents, and I got their advice, and they said, hey, you do what your heart desires, and it's on you. This is your life. We trained you, and we raised you to do what's right. And we know whatever decision you make, God will be with you, and you'll be happy. And so I really thought about it, and really thought about my – I love basketball, but I really see myself – I see a future in track, and I'm competitive, and I just did this off of natural with no coach, just natural ability. And so I ended up going to Tech. And my freshman year, I still was just kind of iffy about track. We get there, and we're running a lot, and I was a high jumper, so I'm coached. Tripping. It's this hot. Like in the fall, we start in August, and we running 200s, everything. And I'm dying. I'm slow. I'm a high jumper, so I'm like, all right. I was like, I don't know if this is for me. I didn't really tell people that because I didn't want to quit. You know, I don't want to be a quitter. But I stuck to it. The season started. There's an indoor season. There's an outdoor season in track. And so my indoor season, I did all right. I did average. I came out. My highest was 6'9" out of high school. My first meet indoor, I jumped 6'11", so almost 7 feet. And so I opened up with that. So I already gotten better from the first jump. I'm like, okay, well, maybe that all that running and stuff paid off, you know. And so we get there, and I end my indoor season, and at Nationals, my two teammates, Zakorian Duffield and Bradley Atkins, they made it to the national meet. Got first and second in the national meet. I didn't make it. I got ninth at conference, didn't even get to go to nationals. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. Then outdoor season, I make it to nationals. I get 11th. They get first and second again. First time in history, you Google it, first time in history, two teammates have got first and second in nationals, indoor and outdoor season in the same year. So I ended up at 11th. And I'm sitting in there, it's in Oregon, and I'm talking to my coach. He's driving me home to the hotel. We talking. He's like, what you think about this year? I said, well, coach, I'm going to be honest. One thing that changed, I mean, when I played basketball or when I high jumped in high school, I wanted to win, and I knew I could. That's the way I stepped out there. But, you know, I'm stepping out there with the first and second best high jumpers ever meet. I knew I couldn't win, to be honest. Like, let's just be real, coach, I couldn't win. And so he said, yeah, well, you see what you just did? He said, you got 11th as a freshman. They got 15th and 19th as a freshman, I think. And they didn't get top 11 as a freshman at Nationals. He said, so I'm going to tell you right now, if you change your mindset, you can be something great. And so that next summer, I prayed hard, and I said, just help me to be the high jumper and the man you want me to be. So we get back, and all summer, like right now, if my season's still going on, like, thankful to God, my season's still going on. I'm going to try for the Olympics in a few weeks. But the last summer, I'm working this and this heat. I'm working so hard, and I'm just like, God, help me just to really, really do whatever you want me to do this season. And I go, and the season just starts out, and my teammate Brad, the one that got second in Nationals both times, He showed me one of my favorite scriptures. I write it on my high jump shoes now. I write a Sharpie in it. We got Adidas shoes, so it's the two stripes. So I write, be humble, and then there's one more stripe in the middle, and I write the verse. It's James 4:10. And James 4:10 is real simple. It just says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. And, you know, you can take it how it is. Like, it just says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. But I take it as, like, lift up, he'll lift your spirit, He'll list you when you're sad. He'll list you all types of ways. But I also took it in a literal sense because God knows your heart. And I said, God, all right, I'm going to be humble. I'm going to know when I'm a sin. I'm going to ask for forgiveness. I'm going to have a humble heart. If I do something successful, I'm giving it back to you. I don't want to be cocky. I don't want to be that type of person. And I believe that you'll do your part. If I humble myself, you'll lift me up. And what I meant by that was lift me up in life, but also literally lift me up in high jump, you know? And that's how I took it. And I believe that me and him got a deal. Like, you stay humble, I'm lifting you up in high jump every day. And so that's how I started. So this season, I had a lot of success. My indoor season, I got second at the Big 12 conference meet. And I was mad, but I had already jumped high enough to go to nationals. I get to nationals with the 10th best jump. It's only 16 people, so I'm not even top eight. I'm not even half of the best up there with the best jump. I get to nationals in Alabama, and I win nationals with 7'3". I was a 7'1" jumper in freshman year, and I win nationals with 7'3". So I'm the best. I'm the best high jumper out of everybody that I win the meet. I'm getting a ring that says number one high jumper that year. And but overall, then I opened up. I jumped 7'5". I had the third best jump in the United States at that time. But overall, I always read two scriptures before I compete. And this is the most important part that I think people should know about me and my success in high jump. Is I read that scripture. But then there's two more I read, and one of them is 1 Corinthians 9. First Corinthians 9:24-27. And so it says, the title of it at the top says, the need for self-discipline. And so it says, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. That's the ring I got indoor, a crown that won't last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it a slave so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And so, it's a lot in that, and I don't want to talk about it too much, but overall, I just take that. I take that as I don't want to – the end part says he don't want to be disqualified from his prize, and so he's working to get the eternal prize of life. And so you got to train your body. I train my body in this heat every day, but you also got to train your body by reading your Bible, praying to God. That's the real – that's the most important training you can do, and that's the training that I do. And it definitely – it pays off in life. God knows what you want in your life, whatever your goals are. He knows them. And if you ask for them and you train your body, you humble yourself, I know it'll pay off. I'm confident of that. He'll never fail you. And then the other one, the other scripture I'll read before I jump is 1 Corinthians 10 and 31. And this one is really, really simple. It says, so whether you eat, drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And so I got Twitter, Instagram, everything. And whenever I win big meets like nationals or whatever, I always say something about giving the glory to God, because I don't post it just so people think it. Like, first of all, after every jump, I go like this, just like Steph doing. He makes it any shot. Watch Steph tomorrow night. When he makes a shot, he goes, he hits his chest, points up to God. And that's the reason. He's giving God the glory for every shot he makes. And I learned that. I see that in Steph. And so I said, all right, this year, that's what I did. I started. Every time I clear a bar, I point up to God. Thank glory to God that I cleared that bar. I can't clear it without you. And so just after every meet, I post on Instagram just to let everybody know, because I'm not afraid to tell everybody what I believe in. I say, all glory to God. Thankful I won nationals. Thankful I jumped 7'5". Thankful I'm getting the child for the Olympics. Thankful for God, anything. Because I just want more people to know that all glory to God for whatever success I get in life, you know. And so those are my three scriptures I focus on. And I know that even I got fifth outdoor national. I went from first to fifth, and I was in a dark place, real upset. But then I was like, God, you're not going to fail me. whatever happens, it's glory to you. Fifth place, people are killed to get be the fifth best Heisman friend in the nation. And so I got to be thankful, and I still got to give you the glory. So I made sure that, because I know I got a big stage of people, especially in the track world, watch me right now, and they talk about they want to see you. They want to, if you fall, how are you going to act? Because it's easy to post thankful to God when I win, but what about when I get fifth? And so, yeah, still did that. But then the last thing I just wanted to say is an important thing to know in life, just overall, is what's your why? And my four whys is I want to bring glory to God's name in my life's platform. Right now it's high jump. That's going to end one day. And whatever I do, I want to bring glory to God. But then my other one, for high jump, I want to fly with my grandparents. I got three grandparents starting with me right now. So I just want to fly with them, you know. And then the other one is make my family proud. And then I want to represent my city and show that there's athletes and there's greatness in this city, you know. So I just want to end by telling y'all that.
Give it up one more time. Wait. Give it up one more time for Trey Covert, everybody. Now, Trey, let me tell you something, really. Your daddy loves you. Because through my whole marriage counseling he did with me and my wife, he talked about you. He would be like, so, Kenzie, how do you feel about marrying Monique? And I'd be like, well, I feel pretty. But let me tell you about my son. He's jumping three times this week, and he would sit there and show pictures the whole time. So, Pastor, I know you love your son. I didn't know if I was going to marry Monique or your son at one time because you kept bringing him up so much. But that's how it goes. Ladies and gentlemen, we got my parents in the audience as well, Mr. and Mrs. Williams. Y'all give it up for them. And what we're speaking about is supporting parents, because my parents supported me even at times when I felt like I wasn't even worthy. And so we talking about Trey, he's in athletics. I was in football. I really didn't want to play football, but to do it for my daddy, I did it. And see, it was times I didn't even want to go in the game, and my daddy would get mad. He would go out there and yell at the coach, hey, why my son ain't playing? So one time he messed around and told the coach that I didn't want to play. So coach put me in the game and then went and took me out. I was tired, man, look. I was running backwards and forth. I didn't even know the plays that was going on. But that's what supportive parents do, so that's what get us here in the room of champions. So anybody who's trying to do something positive, please support everybody that's doing something positive, because we need it out here in our community. And speaking of positively, the next person I'm bringing up right now is Booger Bradshaw, a rapper from Lubbock, Texas. Now, see, when I first met him, I didn't like the way he dressed. Because I think rappers should dress, you know, the way he dressed. He in here right now with a church shirt and swimming trunks on right now. I don't know if he came from the pool or from the altar, but this is the kind of people we need in our generation, because he speaks a positive message. And a lot of people don't speak this positive message. So the next person I'm bringing up here is Booger Bradshaw. Please give him a round of applause. He will be doing his three songs. So, y'all go ahead, let him do his thing. Check, check. Booger Bradshaw, do your thing.
This whole vibe we got going on with positivity and lifting yourself up and knowing that you can do anything that you believe in, it's real. It's real tough. Wherever you put your mind to, I'm talking, most of them are talking to you young kids right here. This is the message, you know, that I'm sending in my music. Whatever you believe in, just have fun and just do it. So, with that said,
drop that beat, DJ.
And I do have Caleb on this song with me. We work a lot doing music together, just artists. Check me out. I got to tell you, this is what I'm saying. I know a lot of things, you need to party, you need to be cool and all.
Thank you.
One more time for Booker Bradshaw and Young D. Them light-skinned boys, they taking over this year. I already told y'all, I ain't trust y'all. The only dark-skinned people is me, Petey Pete, and my daddy up in here. So, oh, I forgot about you. Big Q back there, looking like a yellow M&M. Oh, boy. Anyway, that was Booker Bradshaw, Young D, greatest of my time. And Young D, thank you for coming out. I didn't think you was going to make it. You and that curl. You know, it's too hot out here to be wearing that curl. It's 105 degrees out there. You the only one with a curl. I told you. I'm going to get you. I told you that. Anyway, we going to keep the show moving. The next one we coming to the stage is Mita. And Mita is singing a song called Dreaming Out Loud. And that's how it's going down today. So y'all just give him patience, a little time. He's coming to the stage, and he's going to be performing his song, which he made all by himself.
Okay, y'all. I got a message for a friend. I got on the course with a friend, and my homegirl, Sean Davis, sitting at the thank you. As far as I'm bringing out my own name, I'm going to have a name taken over now. Bye-bye. Love you, friend. Thank you. All right,
I'm going to play two ones and listen.
Hey, let's go. We're here for that. What's up? I want to thank y'all for having me. It's been a long time coming. I've been riding a long time. I'm glad to have a lot of business.
Thank you. Kill Your Dreams. And on behalf of Rising Star Baptist Church, I will be making a few church announcements for y'all today. As soon as I can pull them up, let's see, where are they at? Okay. To all the members and kids, please give them a dedication before the service starts. Last week, Sister Jones got her wig snatched off by Willie Mae's grandson. We will be having a car wash to raise money for the annual church picnic since Sister Robinson got arrested for selling food stamps. There will be in-court security at Tuesday night bingo game from now on because of the incident last time. Well, Sister Jenkins is recovering well, and Sister Mary's visiting times is from 4 to 6. And to whoever stole one of the church's choir robes and wore it to the club and got beat up in the parking lot, I'm not going to say no name, but Brother Edward, you're wrong. And to all the members that leave every time the collection plate is passed around, starting next week, there will be an usher guarding the door and holding the collection plate. And the pastor wanted me to tell you, if you his friend on Facebook, please stop tagging him in twerk videos and stop sending him gam advice. He don't play that. And last but not least, to all musty members of the church, please don't sit in the front. You're messing up the pastor's allergies and sinuses. So then was the Rising Star Baptist church announcements for this evening. Y'all having a good time? I say you're having a good time. Y'all get louder than that. Is y'all having a good time? Yeah, I know it's only 26 people in here, but y'all still get loud.
to the stage
is going to be the man of the hour, Mr. PDP himself on 104.9 The Beat. He's the man responsible for this whole evening. So if you didn't like it, it's his fault. But if you love it, it's his fault too. Ladies and gentlemen, y'all give it up for PDP.
Yo, that's Mr. Timothy Willis.
Yes, he's still alive.
Kalo. What does that mean?
No, it ain't for church.
All right, man. I'm broadcasting on my radio network too. So what I'm gonna do, man? I'm still gonna take the headset off and put it on speakerphone for a minute. And all right, there we go. Right,
I want to give a say thanks to my camera guy over there, all right? Also, thanks to Mina. Give a thanks to Kalo. Give a thanks to Boogie Bullard. I want to say, man, everything that you do has to be for a reason. You know what I mean? Because, and also, we give a shout out to Sherry. I think she's outside. And just so you know, the meal is on Sherry. Joe, who is Joe?
Hey!
Also, how you doing? Good.
Hey,
this
guy's
like, are you gonna sing for him?
Now
we can get with it.
Yeah. Hey, now,
her voice right there, like one of the.
I'm doing this one.
Because, man, 5 years ago, being up here in this church, like I said, something on Sunday, and, all I can say is, man, you know, God is good. You know, thank God I took off my glasses because, like I said, everything else happened for a reason. Before I get into it, we all going to have to pull more sandwiches right after this for free. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to the charity and the crew. So, let me tell you guys kind of how school started. I'm going to start with 2010. Ever since 2010, because I really feel like I'm in this spot. I don't know if you guys are going to feel that way sometimes. But I'm originally from Okeechobee, Oklahoma. I have an auntie just right up two streets over that I never met until 2010. I want to say 2010 is when I officially hit rock bottom. But life prior to 2010, man, I grew up. I was 8 years old. Y'all was 8 years old. Me and my uncle was playing tough in the football. Then we stopped playing tough with the football. We started working on the car. And that day, man, as soon as we start working on the car, about 15 minutes later, man, the fans come right in the house. So throw me on the ground. Arrest one of my uncles. He started doing my bedtime. Then my husband, when he went down, the whole family tree went down. So that's when we really had no money. And but I was that kid. I always took on my uncle, but I was that kid. He was like, yo, Pete, you ain't going to be like me and be in the streets. I'm going to give you $5 for every touchdown. That's your score. So that's when my husband started. So playing Little League, you know what I mean? He gave me $5 for every touchdown. I'm like, well, yo, man, I'm going to buy a touchdown for that. I'm sitting there, man. And, man, that life was good, but it ended up getting cut short just because, you know what I mean, you do wrong things, you got to get your time for them, you know what I'm saying? So that's another part I thought about too. I was number one running back in Oklahoma. Number two was Felix Jones. He ended up playing for Dallas Cowboys, and I'm getting drafted by him. So coming out of Oklahoma, I was number one, but I ended up breaking my leg my senior year. And that was the year he didn't break his leg. And but he broke my leg. The junior year, I blew up. And I mean, like, not blew up, but I blew up, like Gil Turner, Patrick Cole. And the senior year, I ended up breaking my leg. But since then, I'm 2008. I was supposed to be a sergeant for and both people died in my family. I ended up getting hurt, like real hurt. Started smoking weed. 2000, I remember my last practice at Texas Tech. I was doing my thing.
Literally on the wood floor, looking out the window. You know what I'm saying? And
remember the special who I ate. Until I came back to love. Okay, so in the midst of that, man, I pray. If you want to know who stuck their hand out for me to come back to loving with my age that I've never met, too. And my grandma, man, I love my grandma to death, man. She got $5 in her pocket. I asked her for phone, she gets it. And she called her sister, called her brother, was like, man, can y'all please have my dad stay with y'all? And they was like, yeah, for sure. So, man, I went to the bank, put my car up for collateral, gave me $1,500. I came back to London. I got a phone call from a store account, and that's something I had signed up for. They had wanted me to come back to Arsenal so I could do like a counting thing or something like that. But I was like, you want to know what, y'all? I'm going to go ahead and go back to school and finish my degree. You know what I'm saying? So when I came back, moved in with my auntie. And what I tell you, it brought me back to reality, what I was raised up in, it brought up out of me, like a season, like, nah, I had come before, just to get this far, you know what I'm saying? So, man, I think I started working at Underground Station, and then I ended up starting schools, and by the time, like in 2010, yeah, 2010, and man, worked there for making little nothing. I remember I had a black guy for 20 years. I felt like I was doing good for myself, but then I started, hey, you want to know what? I want to be a DJ. I want to be a radio DJ. So then I started sacrificing things. Then I started thinking I need to make all this money, make all this money. Then all of a sudden, I found myself alone with nothing. You know what I'm saying? No car, I used to have a dog, didn't have a dog anymore. Didn't really do my job. I had a woman on the floor. So I really sit down and I thought to myself, what is it that you really want? I just want to be happy. And that being said, man, I have my wife now, I had a move in with me. And then, long story short, I was like, we can't just be shacking up. I was like, will you marry me? I'm working at the press. You know what I'm saying? And you. I said, are you saying no? She's like, no, I'm not saying no. I just want to make sure you really mean it. I was like, well, baby, I don't mean it. And then we were married 6 months, about to get a divorce after 6 months. I went off to Dallas, pursuing Lynn's dreams from Sora. I saw a broadcasting game in Dallas. And I'm kid you not, man. I literally was about to give up on her, give up on radio, everything.
Get my wife.
say the struggle is real, the struggle is real, because when you really want to give up, that's really the time, that's really the time to keep going, is because, and I say I'm really feel like God is testing you, because, man, if you don't make it fast, that's fair, you ain't going to get blessed. And sometimes you meet somebody the same age, and they like to share it, sure, each or somewhere else, and then you're like, how do you make up there? But I know. I know, because I was there. We was there. You know what I'm saying? And when I say, like, the struggle was real, and she was Jesus, believe. I was like, man, they got you the job. She was like, you just coming back to the next job. I was like, no, man. I was like, this God. And man, things were happening there, and I just, we just been going ever since. And it's only because I'm trying to keep them all right, keep them right. And man, that's why I put on this conference, my second conference that I had, and the first one, like, man, it was great. But I always knew I wanted to be where I'm at today, but go ahead. I prayed for it, and but in my journey to this, now I can sit back and say, man, don't give up. Going through that, what I went through, is, whoo. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why I'm just like, I'm so afraid I gotta have a conference. Like, I gotta get this out. And I gotta just tell people,
and I always tell God to help me to pass the test. We all going through a change.
Man.
Every day of your life, you're going through a good change. Every day. But the deal is, you have to ask someone to help you to pass the test. It's just a test. It's just a test. But it's like he said, it's to show you what you have inside of you. It's just a test. I'm not a long-winded talker. I think TVB is bad for me. I appreciate the opportunity to use the gift that God gave me. The storms of life will blow. They're sure to come and go. They need us at a time. When we're called and doing fine, but oh, the captain of my soul, he's always on board. He rocks me in his arms while I have no fear of the raging sea, knowing that Jesus is right here with me. He can speak to the wind, my enemies and the waves, and he'll make them all.
Like we have reached the end of the men's conference. Thank y'all for coming today. Give a special round of applause for Booger Bradshaw Meter. PDP with his testimony and the young lady that was singing tonight. I am your host, and this is the end of the conference. Oh, yeah, and we got the food truck outside, so if you feel it's a little food, go out there and get the food truck one time. Y'all have a good night. This is the end of the conference. Thank y'all for coming. Please exit one by one. I didn't cuss. I was good. I was good, right? No, I talked to God. I said, I